You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, February 4th, 2025. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app or by podcast or on social media. Glad to have you here today on this Tuesday. It feels like a brand new day. It feels like a brand new phase. Just something feels new and different. I know what it is. It's the mystery voice. Can you identify this mystery voice?
Good morning.
That's not you. That's
what?
That's Luke. That's Luke Mathers doing an impression of you.
Oh,
that was Greg Bach, everybody. He's back.
I was started doing my Morgan Freeman. Good morning. And it was a terrible. It's a terrible Morgan Freeman. It's terrible. So I tried.
That's okay. Welcome back.
Hello.
You're here.
I am here. I am back. I am back, baby.
How was Memphis?
Memphis was beautiful. My goodness, what a wonderful, wonderful city. I just had such a great time. We did so much. We packed so much good fun in there. Really, also, the thing, it's interesting, went to a bunch of different museums, and the history that place has with radio is just phenomenal. I mean, back in those days, it was always like, you wanted to get in the recording industry, you got to get on the radio. You got to be a radio disc jockey and get popular doing it that way back in like the 20s and the 30s and then the 40s. So it was a really, really fun time. We had a great great trip. When we left on left on Monday morning early, but on Sunday, our last day there, was 70 degrees outside.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the same as what we got today here.
Duh!
No, it's one below here in Chippewa Falls, seven Gross. Below in Hayward, three below in Amory. Everybody else is above zero. Wausau at 4, La Crosse 5, Wisconsin Rapids 6, Green Bay 13, Madison 16, Waukesha 16, and at Radio Park in Racine, it is 22 degrees. And the welcome back from Tony says, the handsome and capable Greg? It's Greg.
Okay. Greg. The way you read it with trepidation on Tony's, it was with confidence he said that.
That's also true. He had an exclamation point, not a question mark.
But I am not the handsome and capable. I'm just merely Greg. We all know the handsome and capable is Mr. Luke Mathers.
I don't know. Luke Mathers just sent me a note here, and it's about your vacation beard.
I think he also thought of my voice, too. My hello there. Hello, children. I sound like Chef. That's what I sound like. I sound like Chef from South Park. Hello, children. Like, no, it sounds terrible.
No, you and Isaac Hayes, I can't quite put those two together. No, Luke thought that was a rather Santa-ish beard. You've got it, coiffed very nicely.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I'm here for all the good boys, girls, and in-betweeners who just want to be good and get good presents.
Yep. No, Luke is now correcting me. It was totally the voice. He thought that was Santa's voice. How did you and he come up with Santa for a voice?
I don't know. I literally just was like, hello, and that's all I did. I really have ruined this segment, haven't I? Let's just start again.
I'm stuck with Isaac Hayes as Santa. I think this would be great. Yeah. Hello, children.
Hello, children.
Hi, Chef. Hi, Chef Santa.
Which, by the way, Mr. Isaac Hayes, God rest his soul, in Zeno we trust, he has a huge... Memphis was his home. He's from Memphis. Stax Record t-shirt I'm wearing. I'm wearing it now from Stax Record, the legendary Stax Record company. I saw his car. They have his car in the museum spinning. Yes, they have his desk, his office desk, which you'd be like, why do you have his office desk? When you see it, you know exactly why, because it probably looks like nothing else in the building. It was like plastic, white, and red, and just looked like you were walking into like Muscular Cupid's office.
Well, I'm glad it was fun. Yeah, that's great. Look, we brought the conversation full circle, almost like we planned it.
Oh, there you
just
go.
Like in dress rehearsal. There you go. Brittany Merlot will be here in an hour to tell us more about the forecast, but here's her state forecast for this morning. She writes, winter is back with a breezy and cold morning, creating some sub-zero wind chills ahead of more snow on the way Wednesday, but it'll also bring in some warmer temperatures. Here's the state forecast for this morning. Chilly, more clouds than sun. Low teens in the north to low 20s in the south, and a northeast wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour for tonight. Increasing cloudiness and cold. Single-digit lows in the north, teens in the south, and winds will be light and easterly. I guess I should tell you what else is coming up on the program today here. We have the first of our interviews with candidates for State Superintendent of Public Instruction. And we're joined by the incumbent State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley, will be here just after 7:30 to talk about running for a second four-year term, what she has achieved in office, what she'd like to do with another term. We'll address the recent controversy about standardized test scores as well. We will visit with our friend Dan Hagen from WJFW, Newswatch 12 up in Rhinelander. We'll hear in a few moments here from Sharita Booker and then Christina Lori, two of my colleagues at Up North News, who join me on Tuesdays to talk about some of the stories that you will find online and in our newsletter. And speaking of that newsletter out today, that includes a story from Christina about patronizing small businesses, small black-owned businesses, as part of Black History Month. There's also an article from me there asking about those day one promises that Donald Trump made, and he made several promises of things that were going to happen on day one. Hasn't happened yet, just spoiler alert. And because of the recent really record cold temperatures, Christina writes about some of Wisconsin's record temperatures, the cold ones and the hot ones. And that's all in our newsletter. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. And then Christina will have more to say. I think we're also going to be chatting a bit about Women and Girls in Sports Day. That's tomorrow. Selena Heller told us a bit about it yesterday. Christina Lori will have some more about it coming up just after 6:30 this morning. Hey, speaking of that election for State Superintendent of Public Instruction, the primary election is 2 weeks from today. And that means that early voting gets underway today, in-person early absentee voting. And that's something that's done at your local clerk's office. It's something I know I need to do maybe because I'm not sure what my status is going to be for Tuesday the 18th. I'll be freshly back from vacation. Or will I? I like palm trees and beaches, so we'll just see. So I might want to fill out that ballot sooner rather than later. And if so, you can go to your local clerk's office. Learn more at myvote.wi.gov to learn more about the primary election, because there are primary races in some other parts of the state. Obviously, the big one is for state superintendent. There is not one for state Supreme Court, because there are only two candidates in the race. So they'll face off on April 1st. But because there are three candidates for state superintendent, the field will be narrowed to the top two vote getters 2 weeks from now. There are things like judge races in Jefferson County, St. Croix County. There are school board races in places like Oshkosh, Appleton, Kaukauna, Little Chute. Jimmy Koska put all these together for us. So there may be primary elections where you are. So again, check with your local clerk's office to learn much more about that. Our former attorney general, who is running for a seat on the state Supreme Court, recently made some jokes. And the jokes, you'll understand why he made them, although I wouldn't exactly word things the way he did. But he was talking about how expensive it is to run for state Supreme Court. This would be Brad Schimmel, attorney general during the Scott Walker era, and now a Waukesha County judge who's running as the conservative candidate for a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He will be up against progressive Dane County Judge Susan Crawford on April 1st. this race is going to break records. It's going to be a very expensive race. It's the only chance conservatives have to win back control of the court for the next few years, barring any new vacancies. So Brad Schimmel's been campaigning for this Supreme Court seat for a long time now. And apparently, based on reporting by Dan Bice and the Journal Sentinel yesterday, likes to make jokes about how expensive the race is going to be. He told members in at least one instance, probably more, I have to invest in knee pads. You know, I've got to go to Menards, invest in knee pads to crawl around begging people, please, please, please consider getting involved and consider supporting my race. And Bice writes that he's made similar remarks as well. The same joke about going to Menards and getting knee pads and all of that. The thing is, as Bice notes in the article, Schimmel is not supposed to be hitting donors up for cash, whether you have knee pads or not. The judicial conduct code is very clear in the state of Wisconsin. A judge, candidate for judicial office or judge-elect, shall not personally solicit or accept campaign contributions. So unlike, say, when I was running for office, you do make that ask. You're talking to somebody and then you ask if they can donate so much to the campaign, and trust me, I don't miss it one bit, even though I'm very, very grateful to everybody who supported my races. But judge races are different. You can talk about the race and, why you think they're worthy of your vote, but then somebody else from the campaign committee, a treasurer or somebody else, has to actually ask for funds. And you can understand why. People running for judgeships, Supreme Court seats, should not be soliciting campaign contributions. And the Schimmel campaign says, Schimmel has not made any direct asks, but he sure has tiptoed up to the line, if that's what it is, because he has spoken in the past about just how expensive the race is going to be. He told WISN Radio last April, he says, I do have national relationships with donors well beyond Wisconsin. I've met with them already. I'm confident we're going to see them come into the race. And that he does talk about the significance of the contest and why people across the country ought to be interested in it. So he is doing his part to attract a lot of big money to the race, as will folks supporting Judge Susan Crawford. And so many more commercials and more coverage on the way, hopefully without the ongoing knee pad jokes from Brad Schimmel as part of the race. All right, Sherita Booker is going to join us in just a bit. Christina Laurie to follow, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, let's keep things moving along on this Tuesday with Sherita Booker, our social media manager at Up North News. Sherita, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Pat?
Good, thanks. So as we looked at what were some of the popular posts of the last week, we're going to start with big media and little TV stations. The little TV stations are across Wisconsin and across the country. The big media is a group owned by a billionaire made a really bad decision and had to eat it. Tell us more about that.
Yes, so last week we told you that Allen Media Group, who owns four local newsrooms across Wisconsin, announced that they were laying off all of its meteorologists and replacing them with national reports from the Weather Channel, which is based in Atlanta. But those plans have paused because of some major backlash. And those layoffs would affect the meteorologists at WKOW Madison, WXOW in La Crosse, WQOW in Eau Claire, and WALW in Wausau. That post had more than 3,000 likes, and Ted said, local meteorologists are known and trusted. They live here. Would I rely on and trust someone not here? Nope. locals know what conditions are actually like and happening. This is, and somebody else said, this is good news. I hope it's not a pause. And Donna said, pushback works in so many places. We are stronger together.
That is a very good point that, you know, again, people didn't just roll over, you know, or walk away and shrug and go, well, what are you going to do? They saw how these stations, and obviously WQOW here is the one local for us in the Chippewa Valley, and they let longtime anchors go at all three stations, including Keith Edwards here in Eau Claire. And so people were still stinging from that news. So I'm to follow it up so quickly and say, yeah, now we're going to get rid of all your local weather people and you're just going to get a forecast from the Weather Channel. I mean, the Weather Channel's a decent brand, don't get me wrong, but I mean, would you, Sharita, trust a Weather Channel forecast as opposed to somebody that was based in Milwaukee?
I believe it needs to be local. Like, yes. Yeah, you've been here, you know what it's like, you know the patterns. It's like, if you're in Atlanta or Georgia, I don't expect you to know exactly what's going on here unless you're here. So I think it's really important to have someone local.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. And that's not to say that, you know, groups of stations can't share resources in some other ways. But I mean, come on, people, your local weather person, it's that should have been a no-brainer. Let's see. Let's turn now to American Family Field, where, you know, it'll be brewer season before you know it. But then the brewer season will end. And usually we say, well, that's the end of happenings at American Family Field. But that's not necessarily going to be the case because there's more stuff that's about to go on over there, Sharita.
Yep. So AmFam just got approved for $54.9 million to winterize the stadium. Winterizing the stadium will allow the stadium to be heated up to 68 degrees while outside temps drop down to negative 10 degrees. And as soon as next year, the Brewers will be able to host concerts and other events year round. That had almost 1,000 likes. And Lori said, y'all haven't lived if you don't sit out in snowstorms and rainstorms at the old county stadium. Fans are spoiled now. And Michael said, air conditioning next. It's a breezeless sauna in July and August. And we also got a lot of people commenting and that they're not happy about taxpayer money having to fund this upgrade.
Yep, we definitely talked about that in the last legislative session. We talked about, you know, what is the ratio of public money to private funds that should go into something because, you know, it is an economic development project. It brings people to your area. But, you know, the bigger part of this story is the winterization of it. And it's not that folks are going to be always indoors in an air-conditioned dome watching baseball. It's about having this as a year-round venue for events, for concerts, for other things, which, you know, I mean, sometimes you look at these stadiums and go, what a waste that you're only using it for, you know, so many days a year. So it'd be great if you could, you know, take in some kind of a concert or do something like that. In fact, I think there's one concert already scheduled, an outdoor one, traditional one, Billy Joe, I think it was, and people like that. People have gone to see, you know, Paul McCartney and so many other artists there. And it just seems like it's going to be a good project overall to deal with. All right, let's turn, as so often happens, to either food or drink, making for popular posts. And let's start with something unique to either Wisconsin or the upper Midwest when it comes to how you enjoy a particular beverage that I think a lot of people will have on a Sunday morning. Tell us more.
So there's this mystery why Wisconsin bars serve beer tasters with their Bloody Marys, and neither Wisconsin bartenders or Google have a clear answer as to why. Beverage manager of Engine Company Number 3, Deanna Morales, told On Milwaukee that out-of-towners are usually confused when they're served a Miller Lite with their Bloody Mary, and they'll usually say something like, oh yeah, we're in Wisconsin. And that post had more than 1,000 likes. Vicky said, 40 years tending bar in Wisconsin, and it's always been a thing. Kathy said, helps cut the tomato juice and cleanse the palate. And Wendy said, where I come from, it's called a snit. And I guess some people agree because there was a bunch of comments like that also that they call it a snit. Never heard that though.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I mean, it's what I'd hear my grandpa call it, you know, way back when would refer to it as a snit and, you know, or chaser. And like I've said before, if you're from out of town or if you're somewhere else, I should say, out of town, and you ask for this, they look at you like you're crazy. The only other thing I read that might explain it is that at some point early in the last century, there was a vodka shortage. And so instead of making Bloody Marys with vodka and tomato juice and all the spices, they did it with beer instead, but you didn't need a full beer to make a beer Bloody Mary, and so they just give you the other half of the can of beer or whatever. I have no idea if that's really the case or not. I just know it's a very unique thing up here. How about you? You a Bloody Mary drinker yourself?
I love Bloody Marys. Extra spicy, and if it's not spicy, pass the tobacco sauce.
Whoa, okay. Extra spicy. We like that. That's good to know. Sharita Booker, social media manager and Bloody Mary lover, as long as you make it spicy. Thank you so much for updating us on all the popular posts of the past week. Have a great day.
You too, bud.
Let's update you now on a couple of national stories here. Just first off, for Elon Musk, we're not going to get much into the details at the moment of the basically the raid, the takeover that he's done of government databases. I just want to know, were the people upset about Hillary Clinton's emails and access to national security secrets in government databases? Just asking. Just asking where the Hillary's email crowd is. And the other, do not let President Trump claim any kind of victory over what happened yesterday in delaying tariffs with Canada and Mexico. Look at what Canada and Mexico said they would do. It's no different than what they've been doing or first did when Joe Biden came into office as well, just without all the bluster and theater. It's not a win. Once again, it's just bad negotiating and showmanship. Christina Laurie has more right after this. You're up north. Nice to have you back here on Up North News Radio for this Tuesday morning. Christina Laurie joins us, as she does on Tuesdays, to talk about stories you can find on social media and on our website and in our newsletter as well. Hello, Christina. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
Good, thank you. Let's talk a little women's sports here, and not just because of the calendar, but, you know, when we're doing the daily history lesson, we're actually one day ahead of ourselves here, but tomorrow is National Women in Sports Day. Like you pointed out, not that you need a day for it, but it's a good reason to talk about, you know, some of the many milestones, in this case, with a bit of a Wisconsin twist. So I got to start by asking, you play any sports?
Oh, I thought you were going to lead into the first topic. So played would be a generous word to use. I did run cross country in high school. I was not very good, but my team was not very good either. So I was on varsity by default. And I was technically on the basketball team as well. I believe I may have played a total of 1 minute. All 4 years. Okay. I was a very good cheerleader for the team. I was very enthusiastic when everyone scored. You could probably say I was the Bob Uecker of our high school basketball team. I like to think I was a good time, but I was not good on the court. I could really sink a free throw, though.
You could. So, all right.
I wasn't in long enough to ever get fouled.
How were your volleyball skills?
Not good. But I am so impressed by the talent of volleyball. If you guys are late to the party like I was and had never seen a professional volleyball match, I'm talking, if you think Wisconsin Badgers volleyball is good, which they are.
They are, yeah.
You need to check out a professional volleyball match because it is just one notch better, faster, more competitive, and you have a new opportunity to do that here in the state of Wisconsin. And soon you're going to have double the opportunity. So let me explain. In January, Love B. Madison kicked off their inaugural season. They're a new professional volleyball league that was actually co-founded by Lauren Carlini, who's a former Badger who played on Team USA in the Olympics and won the silver medal. So she's one of the founding athletes in this league. There are six teams that are part of the league. Omaha has one, Atlanta has one, Salt Lake City has one, but Madison was lucky enough to get one as well. And that's actually the team that the reigning National Player of the Year, Sarah Franklin, is on, who just graduated from Wisconsin in the fall.
Oh.
So you can see them together in action. They play their home games at the field house. But that's not all. So this league just started, and there is already a second professional volleyball league, a new one that's going to be beginning next season. And they announced that they are going to introduce 10 teams in 10 different states, and one of them is Wisconsin. So the exact city hasn't been announced yet. I would guess that it will be Milwaukee, considering Madison already has one. Mm-hmm. However, Madison is a big volleyball town, so I don't know if, you know, they're going to take that into consideration as well. Maybe go up to Green Bay. That has not been announced yet. But what we do know is that the league is called Major League Volleyball. Makes a lot of sense. And it's actually the fourth professional women's volleyball league in the U.S. So I feel like we're kind of at that point that every, you know, major sport gets to, what, you know, football had to deal with, what basketball had to deal with, you know, eventually there will be mergers here. But more sports, never a bad idea, more opportunities for women athletes. And the new league is already totally funded as well. Singer Jason Derulo, three-time Olympic medalist Kerry Walsh Jennings, and even the Sacramento Kings owner all went in, and they've already pledged more than $100 million to get this league off the ground. So it's exciting times in women's sports. It's nice to see them growing and not shutting down.
Right. I mean, again, with more channels than ever before. I mean, we thought it was a lot when there was a lot of cable channels. Now add streaming, which is, you know, literally limitless. And if somebody's looking to start up something, they need content. And that content, you know, as more people are exposed to something, you know, you start to find your favorites, you start to find your fans. We were out to dinner a week ago or so, and out of the corner of my eye on the TV in the bar was that was my first look at what was professional women's volleyball. And I said to Sherry at the time, I'm like, I did not know there was a professional women's volleyball league. And now you're telling me there's another on the way. So again, clearly they're finding the financing, they're finding the sponsors, getting the eyeballs, because people want something different. And just look at how, you know, collegiate volleyball has taken off. This seems like just a natural next step.
Well, the proof is in the pudding, because the next topic I was going to bring up was the amount of money that these college programs are raking in. Wisconsin Yeah. volleyball is incredibly profitable. So, I mean, gone are the days when football and basketball were the only money makers for the university. Wisconsin women's volleyball collected more than $1.5 million this past season, which ranks them third in the country for any women's sport. So the only schools and programs that are above them are UConn women's basketball, which mm-hmm. really isn't a fair comparison since right. they play in a giant arena and they play so many more games every season. And then Nebraska volleyball, which also plays in a larger venue and is just as accredited of a program as the Badgers volleyball team is. But what's so impressive is that Wisconsin, so they made $1.54 million last year, and they still play in the field house. They could play at the Kohl Center and double their capacity, but they like that intimidation factor that they get inside the field house, which is why they stick to that around 7,000 person capacity venue. However, there are talks they're always trying to adjust the seating in that. They reopened a balcony not too many seasons ago, which added an extra like 500 seats. But I'd love to see them get creative in other ways. We need people like hanging from the rafters or something to sell more tickets there.
Almost literally. But again, it tells you how, as things have progressed for women's sports, but then for sports overall, because again, it used to be just the big four, you know, baseball, football, hockey, basketball, and people are craving other things. And this is definitely one that has caught on. So not surprised about the money. The number three in the country thing is a surprise, though.
Well, and what's also really impressive is that this includes, since the women's basketball season, we're only like halfway through, the women's basketball numbers were from last season, and Wisconsin volleyball beat Iowa women's volleyball's numbers from last season, which of course was the year they had Caitlin Clark still on their team, selling out every game, every venue. And Wisconsin volleyball still made more money than
still more than Iowa basketball. That is really impressive. Holy cow. So where do we go next from here? Let's go from volleyball. How about to another sport? And again, a sport that is catching on, one that I think for years and years people looked at and like, oh, it's just that thing that little kids play. But no, flag football is really coming into its own right now for various reasons. But reasons aside, we're already crowning champions.
We are. Congratulations to the Kettle Moraine Lasers girls flag football team. They won Wisconsin's first ever state flag football championship. That is just super cool for many reasons. First, flag football is a great opportunity for women to get into the game of football. And it's also being floated around as a real alternative, even for boys. Many high schools are considering starting this because of the risk of concussions. So you still get to play the game of football, but maybe you're not someone who would ever make it to college football anyways. So you can play the game without, risk of damaging your brain for the future. And it just is cool to see like new sports starting and getting recognized at these schools. The Packers also did something cool and they shouted out the Lasers football team and they gave their captain the High School Athlete of the Year award recently.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Well, again, it was looked down upon because, it was the whole macho thing. Like, oh, you got to tackle. There's got to be hard hitting. And of course, with CTE and concussions and everything else building, a lot of the chatter for a couple of years there was that, who knows if there's going to be an NFL. Now they've made more improvements in the helmets. They've called more penalties for targeting, but people have also been looking at this alternative. I mean, look at the Pro Bowl. NFL players at the Pro Bowl, they're not going to do violent tackles. And so you eventually saw flag football become a part of the Pro Bowl and the skills competition that went on there. And like you said, for the next generation that is aware of this, you look at flag football and go, wait, you've got speed, you've got agility, you've got accuracy, you've got everything but the concussions. Why wouldn't this eventually catch on?
And I know, there's always the other side that people will be like, people are a little averse to change and they'll say people aren't as tough as they were back then. Yeah. Well, we know a lot more about the long-term ramifications and some players like the Kelce brothers have been really outspoken about this, that they don't wear guardian caps. They knew the risk going into playing football. And for them, the payoff is worth it. They made that decision. They make a lot of money in the game. And they love it and they're willing to, take whatever repercussions come from it decades later. However, many of these high school athletes, they might get a bunch of concussions in high school and they were never going to make it to college anyways. They were never going to make any money off of this sport. So the risk reward is not worth it for them. So this is a great alternative.
Yes, it is. All right. One more stop for women's sports. And the headline here is that a Rhinelander woman has set a running record. Tell us more.
Okay. So we're going full circle here. I told you that I ran cross country in high school and I feel like running never gets the attention that it deserves, especially for long distance events that come in the form of track and field. So this Rhinelander mom, she's 35 years old. Jamie Wiss, she just broke the U.S. indoor heptathlon record, which for those unfamiliar, the heptathlon is 7 events. It's like hurdles, high jump, long jump. They have sprinting. They have like 800 meter. It just is incredibly impressive. It's really the hardest thing you could possibly do in track because you have to be good at absolutely everything. And I can't imagine training for that when you're also a full-time mom.
Right.
So she broke this record. She not only broke it, she crushed it. The scoring is done based on points. So the standing record for U.S. women age 35 was 2,900 points, and she shattered it by a full 500 points more than that, ending with 3,425. So now she's a 3-time Masters national champion as well as a U.S. record holder. And when asked what's next, in typical athletic competitor fashion, she said, back to the grind, more goals ahead. So it'll be fun to watch. Remember that name, Jamie Wiss. She is an incredible inspiration and she actually coaches volleyball in her local community. She's a mom of four, and she always brings her kids along too and teaches them that sports are fun. She has like a makeshift high jump in her backyard to practice. It's so cool. It's a sport that doesn't get reported on nearly enough.
But you're here for that. So we appreciate that. Now, we've given shout outs to running and to volleyball and to flag football.
Yeah, what's left?
I was going to say, we're going to be hearing from people going, what about softball? It's like, okay, we know it's winter, but you know, some folks are warming up, doing their warmups in the gym already. And actually, some of these teams, you know, before winter's over, some of these softball and baseball teams, they start heading south. Although, as we learned last week, you know, the South can have its problems with winter weather as well now, thanks to the climate. But we should be hearing more about softball in the not too distant future.
Yes. So the Badgers team, they actually, I think they play their first game near the end of the month, and something impressive. So we can give her a shout out. One of their sophomores, Hillary Blomberg, was already named to the top 100 players list for preseason, which is incredibly impressive given that she's only played one season collegiately. And the best part about her is that she's from Wisconsin. So she was a lifelong Badger fan. We don't have to worry about her entering the transfer portal. She made it very clear she will be a four-year Wisconsin athlete.
Well, that's great. See, we're underway with it already. Spring will be here before you know.
What other sports? We bring a bocce ball, croquet, cornhole.
All right. Well, we've got next week's agenda ready to go. Christina Laurie, thank you so much for our little focus on women in sports. Have a wonderful day.
You too, Pat.
We'll do today's history lesson right after this break. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlin.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
There's Clint Black. He is 63 years old today, and that's my favorite song of his, No Time to Kill. This is today's history lesson for this February 4th, 2025, and we are joined by Greg Bach, who's back from vacation, and Dan Hagen from WJFW Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander. Mr. Hagen, good morning.
Good morning. It's February. January is like a couple months there.
So. Yes, I know. It's finally nice. Nice to have you here. We were complimenting Dan off air on his outfit. It's very reminiscent of the Fred Flintstone top to which we got, you know. What do you know about the Flintstones?
I know more about the vitamins than the show.
The vitamins. All right. Well, great. Okay. Well, as long as we're talking about old people and old things, George Washington was unanimously elected president of the United States this day in 1789. The USO, the United Service Organization, was created this day in 1941 to entertain American troops. More birthdays. No more Mr. Nice Guy. Alice Cooper is 77 today.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Oh, yeah.
No more Mr. Clean.
This gets Greg's blood going. He's ready. Who needs coffee? Let's see. Rosa Parks was born this day in 1913. She passed away in 2005. It's Facebook's birthday today, started by Mark Zuckerberg and Eduardo Saverin on this day in 2004. Yay, Facebook, Dan.
You know, it has a lot of groups that I actually get a lot of news from. So it is
still useful. You're not 18 or under, so you actually do use Facebook, unlike the real youngins in there. Natalie Imbruglia has a birthday today. The singer is 50 today.
Nothing's fine, I'm torn. I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel.
She's 50, one of the young ones in our daily history lesson usually.
She's 50. Fleetwood,
Fleetwood Mac released Rumors on this day in 1977. It's at 40 million copies and still going. The next year...
It's fine.
It's fine.
One of the best albums ever, Greg.
I got the youngins back.
Dan finally pipes up and knows something from the past. Good. Great. Yes. Grand. Okay.
No 60s, 70s music.
That's right. The very next year, 1978, the Bee Gees, Stayin' Alive, hit number one. Birthdays today include Gavin DeGraw. He is 48 years old today. This was the anniversary of the Super Bowl halftime show on this day in 2007. We talked about this last week, I think, with Prince, closing with what could only be described as an otherworldly rendition of Purple Rain, In the Rain.
Yeah.
Hard to believe that was 18 years ago already. The number one song this day in 1984 was by Culture Club.
Does this mean anything to you, Dan?
Never heard this song in my life.
You're lying.
Oh, my goodness.
You're lying. I don't believe you for a moment.
Oh, boy. Let's see. Janet Jackson, on this day in 1986, the 19-year-old released her album, Control. Control spun off five big chart hits, including When I Think of You and The Pleasure Principle right there. On this date in 2012, Adele became the first female British artist to have three number one songs on the same album top the Billboard Hot 100 chart when this song hit number one. Also hitting the top spot off that album were Rolling in the Deep and Someone Like You from the album 21. So Dan, is 21 by Adele, is that the next generation's Fleetwood Mac Rumors?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, okay. Like Adele has kind of gone less popular, but Fleetwood Mac lives forever.
Oh, I like that. Very good. All right. On the National Day calendar, this is Mail Carrier Appreciation Day. And especially here in Wisconsin, where they've got to go through the snow and the thunderstorms and everything else, we appreciate our mail carriers. It's World Cancer Day. It's National Homemade Soup Day. It's Stuffed Mushrooms Day, my favorite appetizer to make. It's National Hemp Day as well.
Yeah, all right, man. All right, man. Yeah,
not that, you know, we're weaving baskets over here. That kind of
thing.
Yeah, sure it is. Let's see. Tony says, Fire to the Rain is such a phenomenal song. Robin Tigerton says, welcome back, Greg. I hope you have a great vacation.
I did.
Good. Dan, what you been covering up in Rhinelander or doing for fun?
Well, you know, first off, you speak of the mailman day. My neighbor never shovels his driveway, or sorry, his sidewalk. I don't know if it's time to get Midwest passive aggressive, but might be time, you know.
Well, yeah, you got to get your mail carriers in there, and especially those folks who theirs is out on the road, is to plow enough space there for your mail carrier to get in there with their vehicle.
Right.
I've seen neighbors that not my neighbors. I've seen in other places people that don't do it, and it's just crappy. Don't do that to your mail carriers. Yeah.
A man was arrested over the weekend. He was walking around naked in Merrill, and he resisted arrest, and the officer threw him to the ground. So,
and he's like, okay. I'm on vacation. Isn't this Memphis?
It kind of looked like you now that I think about it.
Yeah, see?
No, don't put that vision in anyone's head. I'm sorry, everybody. We're going to go ahead and...
Oh, no, we have frightened the villagers. We have to move on now. Dan Hagen covering public nudity and more at WJFW Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander. Dan, thank you for the visit so much. Have a great day.
That's my permanent sign-off now. Thank you.
You are very welcome. When we come back, we're going to talk to Sheila Everhart about agricultural tourism in Wisconsin. And then State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley will join us as well on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.